Good morning, everyone, and thank you, John, for that wonderful introduction, and thank you for the invitation to be here to speak to you this morning about some community issues that are very close to my heart. And I've worn my watch to make sure that I stay on time, because as Deb told me last night, "Oh, Heidi, don't be nervous. You could speak about this for days." Just so that we're clear, I'm not going to speak about it for days. Not this morning, anyway. So what I wanted to talk about this morning was our community's experience of poverty and homelessness. In the work that I do in Haldimand County and Norfolk County, there are times where I come up against thoughts that these issues don't happen here, that homelessness is a city problem, that because often we don't walk through our downtowns and see people who are sleeping on the streets, or we don't encounter people who are asking us for money, that we're okay, that generally speaking, we're doing okay. And many of us are, but you'll see that there are quite a few of us who aren't. And in our community and other rural communities around Ontario, homelessness can look very different. And but that doesn't mean that it's not happening. So thank you very much for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. And I also wanted to say thank you for all of the great work that you do in the community. We could not do the work that we do in our office without the support and the volunteerism of our community partners. And First Baptist Church, I know, has a long history of being one of those community partners. So thank you very, very much. If we could go to the next slide, please. So the things that I'm going to talk about this morning, language is very important to me. And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page about what we're talking about. So I'm going to give you some definitions to ponder of the words poverty, homelessness, and food security or food insecurity. But then we're going to get away from those textbook definitions and talk about what does that really mean for people? What does it really mean if someone is not making a living wage? What does it really mean if somebody is couch surfing from friend to friend or family member to family member? I'm going to give you some information about what poverty and homelessness looks like in Norfolk County. A few of the slides have lots of numbers on them. I'm going to go through them with you, but the presentation is also going to be posted online afterwards, so if you want to go back and take another look at it, you're welcome to do so. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about some of the things that we're doing in the community, some of the work that we're doing to address issues of poverty and homelessness, and then I wanted to finish off with some action items that you can take away and consider and maybe incorporate into your own personal or professional practice. So first of all, talking about our key terms, poverty being the first one, the definition that I will give you to think about is that poverty is a measure of limited income and exclusion from essential goods and services. And you can see some things that are listed here. Things like employment and decent earnings. We've been talking more about the concept of a living wage. So the fact that the legislated minimum wage is not equivalent to a living wage, that for many, many people who are working full-time in minimum wage jobs, they still don't have an adequate income in order to be able to meet their basic needs. Living in poverty also means living in inadequate and unaffordable housing, being excluded from safe neighborhoods and public amenities, health and well-being, and social networks and basic human rights. The concept of exclusion, I think, is very, very important, and I'm going to mention this a couple times throughout the presentation. From my experience in meeting people and having the honor to walk with people on their journeys who have been struggling, One of the things that has touched me the most is the isolation and the exclusion that people feel. That the identity that, what happens to their identity, that they feel that they are outside of our community. That things like jobs are for other people. Things like having a bed are for other people. Things like having fruits and vegetables are for other people and not for them because of their life experiences of living in poverty and being excluded, or feeling excluded from the community as a whole. Homelessness means that a person doesn't have adequate, safe, and affordable housing. So homelessness exists on a spectrum. Homelessness could be absolute homelessness where someone is living on the street, or sometimes we call that living rough. It could be that someone doesn't have a permanent address, but, you know, for the next 2 weeks they're staying with this friend, and then, you know, a day or two before that 2 weeks is up, they need to find another friend to stay with, or maybe an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a sister, but they don't have a permanent address that they can call their own. Homelessness can also mean being precariously housed. So it can mean having an address that you can call your own, but you really can't afford it, and you're one cold winter and high hydro bill away from being evicted. Or that there are far more people than there are bedrooms available because that's all you can afford. So maybe a mom and three children living in a one-bedroom apartment, and somebody sleeps on the sofa in the living room because having a three-bedroom apartment is just not affordable. Or it could be that you're living in a place that needs a lot of repairs, and you don't have a good relationship with your landlord, and you're too afraid to ask for what you need because of the fear of facing eviction. So all of those situations fall under the definition of homelessness. And that is really important because in a rural community such as Norfolk County, so much of the homelessness that we experience here is hidden homelessness, that precarious housing, that imminent risk of being homeless at any moment, or just being one paycheck away from being evicted. And then food security. So food security is about having access to healthy food and to having access to a variety of types of food that meets your, not only your dietary requirements, but maybe your cultural or faith requirements, and your preferences. So being able to, you know, if we think about when you go to the grocery store, how do you choose the things that you buy? How do you choose the things that you put in your grocery cart? I like to make sure that I'm choosing foods, lots of foods in the vegetable aisle, but sometimes my cart makes it down the way of the potato chips because I like them. And so I can put them in my cart and I can have them as a treat, and that's fine. But if I am experiencing food insecurity, maybe I don't get my groceries from the grocery store at all, because I can't afford that. And so I have to rely on food, community food programs, food cupboards, community dinners. And maybe I eat things that I don't necessarily like, or that upset my stomach, or that don't make me feel as good as I would like to, because that's all that I can afford, or that's all that is available to me. So those are our textbook definitions, but as I said, it's really important to me that we talk about what that really looks like for people and that what that really means. So these are just some examples of the way people can be impacted by living in poverty or experiencing homelessness. So things like not having enough money to pay your rent and pay your utility bills and buy your groceries, and the constant stress of having to make those choices. Which bill can I not pay this month because I don't have a cutoff notice yet? and doing all of that juggling to try your best to make ends meet. We see families, and in my history of working with families, the stress that is caused when children want to participate in the same kind of activity that their friends do, but mom or dad doesn't have the money to be able to pay for that. Or when a permission slip comes home for a school trip, but there's a fee attached to it. So that child stays home from school that day because mom or dad can't afford for that child to go on the trip with their friends. Or even something like one of my very favorite days of the year, the Norfolk County Fair Day, the day that the Norfolk County Fair opens, and you get that free ticket to go in, but everything else in there costs a lot of money. And so there are some children that don't get to go to fair day, and then the next day when they go back to school, they don't have the ability to share those stories with their friends. One of the things that I hear a lot is, well, we have lots of jobs available in our community. All I need to do is drive up the Queensway and see all of the signs at our restaurants that say hiring full and part-time, hiring part-time people. So I have had decision makers say to me, like, why do we have so many people on social assistance when there are jobs available, Heidi? Just get them jobs. It's really hard to apply for a job when you don't have an address and you don't have a phone number. Or when you are hungry all the time and your brain has that hunger fog. Or you have terrible anxiety that isn't treated and it's hard to get out of your house in the morning, let alone work out of cash and interact with people all day. So that is where over time, the internal dialogue that goes on for people that experience chronic poverty and chronic homelessness and in food insecurity becomes one of, I'm someone who doesn't deserve that. That the lot that I have in life is, that's just the way it's going to be, so I'm going to make the best of it. And those things, those are for other people and not for me. So that pushing to the margins and that sense of self that is eroded over time. And so some of the most important work that we do with people is to identify and challenge those thought patterns so that they can see that they have gifts to offer, that they have skills and abilities, and that they are valuable members of our community that have just as much right to things like a home and food and a job as all of the rest of us. So here are some fast facts. In May 2018, we did a homeless enumeration project where we went out into the community and we randomly talked to people on the street, not just people that we thought looked homeless. And so over the course of a week in Haldimand and Norfolk, we talked to almost 700 people. And we had teams of people in various communities that would just randomly go up to people and say, hi, I'm doing a project on homelessness. Do you have a safe place to stay tonight? And do you have a safe place to stay tomorrow night? So out of that almost 700 people, 79 people identified that they did not have a safe place to stay. And 37 of those fit the definition of chronic homelessness, meaning that this was not just a one-time incident and it wasn't short-term. That, when we extrapolate that, that is almost 15% of our population. So homelessness is a real issue in our communities. And then you can see some of these other statistics here. When we talk about housing affordability, the benchmark that we use is 30%. So affordable housing is housing where you spend 30% or less of your gross monthly income on your basic shelter costs. So you can see here that we have over 5,000 households, or if you say 2.5 people per household, about 12,000 people in our community who are living in housing that is not affordable. And then we have close to 4,000 people or 1,800 households who are in deep affordability crisis in relation to their housing because they are spending more than 50% of their income on their basic shelter. So some of the work that we have been doing in our department with the community to address these issues, since 2007, we've constructed over 100 units of new affordable housing across Haldimand and Norfolk counties. I'm particularly proud of the housing that we've built that is supportive housing, because that really is the key, that combination of affordable housing with necessary supports to help people reconnect with their community and come in from the margins. So we have, I'm going to show you some pictures of the Hambleton Hall building in Simcoe, and also we've just finished an additional 14 units of seniors housing in Dunville. So in Dunville, in partnership with Haldimand County, on the same piece of property, we have the Municipal Long-Term Care Home Grandview Lodge. We have Maple Lodge, which is 22 units of housing with personal support worker and nursing support, affordable housing that we constructed. And now we have 14 additional units of more independent seniors housing. So that type of campus feel is really considered a best practice in the province in the affordable housing development, so that people can age in place. Also, for the last year and a half, we were successful in obtaining approval from Haldimand and Norfolk counties to do a pilot project where we now deliver, instead of delivering our homeless prevention programs with community partners, we deliver them as part of our department. So we have a whole spectrum of services now available for people in a coordinated, centralized way that includes emergency housing. So we have 25 beds available in buildings that used to be motels that are not being run as motels anymore. We have, across Haldimand Norfolk, we have 3 housing support workers who go out into the community to work with our guests in the emergency housing program, but also people who are living precariously housed or homeless in the community to try to provide them with the support that they need in order to be housed affordably. We also have some financial assistance available, so we can provide assistance for people with their last month's rent, with utility hookup costs, with some rent and utility arrears. And one of our newer programs is called a portable housing benefit. So we can create affordable housing by constructing buildings, or we can create affordable housing by having people live in market rent housing, but we provide them with a bit of a financial top-up, so that is more affordable to them. So I just wanted to show you some photos of our affordable housing building at Hambleton Hall. How many people have been in Hambleton Hall since it's been redeveloped? Okay, a few people. So in Hambleton Hall we have 40 units of affordable housing. 35 of them are permanent and 5 of them are emergency housing beds. Hambleton Hall was constructed as a Christian education center connected to St. James United Church. I couldn't even guess how many children went to Sunday school there, me being one of them, and brownies and girl guides, and there were Alcoholics Anonymous meetings that happened at Hambleton Hall. This is a building that has housed services for this community for decades. So to see it repurposed into affordable housing has continued its life as a building where people can go and get connected and get well. The people who bought it and developed it, they're called Indwell Community Homes. They used to be known as Homestead Christian Community Care. I heard of them at a provincial meeting and thought that they did amazing work and said, I'm calling them and having them come down and find out about Norfolk County and the housing needs that we have here. And that has blossomed into a really wonderful partnership. So we're very lucky to have them here as a housing provider. The picture of the door with the stained glass in it, That was originally one of the Sunday school room doors. Indwell has done everything that they can to preserve the nature of Hambleton Hall. So any of those doors that they could save were repurposed into bedroom doors and bathroom doors in the new apartment buildings. So really maintaining the character of the building. So there's laundry on site, and the photo on the right is the former chapel, where lots of couples in this community, again, including my parents, got married. So I was very happy to see that they maintained the chapel as much as possible. They just took out the pews, and it's now a gathering space for the tenants, and for their families and friends. One of the highlights of my year every year is that I get invited to the tenants' Christmas party, and they all gather together and they cook. And the first year that I went, I walked up to a table of people and they had an empty chair and asked to sit down. And I introduced myself. I just said, "Oh, hi, I'm Heidi. Nice to meet you." And this young man said, he gave me his name, and he said, "I live here. And this is my mom. And she's here having Christmas dinner with me at my house." And his face just lit up, and it brings a few tears to my eyes every time I tell that story. So it's a really special place that they have maintained in the building for the tenants. The units are very modest in size. They're about 200 to 300 square feet, so a little bit bigger than your average college or university residence room or the average motel room. And the kitchens are tiny galley kitchens, so they do have a community kitchen that the tenants can rent out for special occasions or where they can gather to cook together. One of the things that I wanted to point out here is that the picture on the right with the blue wall, all of the units have an accent wall in them, and the color of the wall matches one of the colors that's in the original stained glass from Hambleton Hall. So again, really maintaining the natural character of the building. And then these are some pictures that show you the flow of one of the units. So you come in the door, there's a little area for a small kitchen table and chairs. Then you sort of go around and there's a galley kitchen, and then there's a space for a bed sitting room. So it really, the accommodations are modest, but they're warm and they are comfortable, and people are supported by caring professional on-site staff. 9 of the units are barrier-free for people with disabilities, so they are one larger room, and then you can see that the washrooms have grab bars and roll-in showers, and that's really important because we do have quite a need for barrier-free and accessible housing in this community. So I just wanted to end with some thoughts about actions that you can take away and see what fits for you. This is my B list. I'm not an A-lister. I'm more of a B-lister. So this is just some things to think about that you might be able to do to help. So first of all, to be aware. So be aware of the people around you, your friends, neighbors, members of your congregation. Get to know them and things that might be going on in their lives that might be causing them difficulties or where they might need some extra support. Be informed. So hopefully this morning I've given you a little bit more information about some of the programs and services that we have in our office that help people in need. And certainly you can call me anytime and I will connect you. If I'm not the person who can help you, I will connect you with other people who I work with who can help. Be supportive. So approaching people with an open mind and a recognition that these are complex issues. There are no quick fixes here. So like I said, it's not always just about someone going out and getting a job. That likely someone didn't get to the situation that they're in overnight, so likely it's going to take us longer than a few days in emergency shelter to get people back on their feet again or maybe on their feet for the first time ever. Be involved. So I've listed some of the initiatives that I know members of the congregation here have been involved with. And maybe look for some things that fit for you to be involved with. So maybe you choose to donate some gently used clothes to We Believe in Simcoe Day. Maybe you come and help out at First Serving Dinner. I know that we have some champion potato peelers, Mr. Keith Ellis, in this congregation, who like to come and help out at big dinners. So that's really wonderful. So find something that fits for you, that you enjoy, that will bring joy to you to help. That doesn't feel like work. Be clear about what you can and cannot do. So I'm not here this morning asking everybody to open their homes and doors to house people who are living on the streets. If that's something that works for you and works for your family, then fantastic. But it doesn't have to be that extreme. And it's not only important to be clear, but it's also respectful to the people that you're supporting. And finally, be vocal. So challenge negative thinking, maybe either your own or other people's. Challenge comments and stereotypes, and support programs and public policy that help to end poverty and homelessness in our community. So thank you very much for your time this morning. I hope that I've given you some things to think about, and certainly I'm happy to stay after worship service this morning and answer any questions that you have.